Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
The Survivor Specialists Phil, John, and McKenna are back with another defining episode. And today we are talking about Jonathan Young's defining episode, Go for the Gusto, episode number 3 of Survivor 42. This is our last new era episode until after season 49 ends and we can do the two 49ers defining episodes. I'm curious what those will be. But this is our last one. We only have two left after this, and that's going to be Christian next week, and then Rick Devins will be closing it out. So thank you all so much for listening to this series. I'm really already starting to drag this Jonathan one out. That's how desperate we are. Like, I might talk about Patreon a lot. I might talk about a lot of other stuff. This episode is tough. We talked about this earlier when we did Joe's. Joe and Jonathan are the only two defining episodes we have where the person does not get a confessional in the episode, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why Jonathan doesn't get a confessional, one, it's because the whole thing's about Marianne and Omer at the beginning. But then Jonathan is the reason his tribe wins. And so we never get to hear from them again after they win. And he doesn't go to on the journey. So it's understandable that he gets zero. But I said it last time when we talked about the defining episode for Angelina. This is one of the, if not the most impressive challenge performance in the history of the show. And what else we do? What are we going to do? His strategy, him yelling at Lindsay, him having the moment with Drea at Tribal Council, which is a weird look for everybody involved. Like, what are we going to do, right? This has to be it. This has to be the answer.
When it comes down to it, this is the reason Jonathan's on Survivor 50.
It is.
Other than the fact that he's also just, like, friends with Jeff. But it's this. Like, this is the reason why Jonathan was cast on Survivor 42. This is the reason why we see him again. This is why he's the only representation from Survivors 41 through 44. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it's maybe not something Survivor really wants to highlight of, oh, hey, we made this mistake and probably shouldn't have run this challenge in the first place.
Jeff calls out Jonathan literally on the mat as they were awarding immunity, like, mm-hmm. Jonathan, that was the single most, you know, the best challenge performance I've ever seen by someone. So, you know, good on you. And Jonathan, like, takes it with grace, mm-hmm. and is just like, thank you, Jeff. And it, like, really appreciated the compliment. Meanwhile, in my head, if I was Jonathan, I'd be like, everyone already knows that happened. Why are we recalling this? Like, we don't have to draw that much attention to it, Jeff. And he was just, he has that, you know, Joe effect where it's just like, yes, honor, integrity, loyalty kind of, like, vibe about his, like, challenge performance.
It's, you know what it is like, Jonathan's performance would have been impressive no matter what.
Right.
But the fact that they had to call the challenge for everybody else and say, just get up here and we'll go retrieve and then we'll do the next portion. That's what really sets this over the top. And so because Jonathan was able to do that, it's crazy. It also signals, though, and I'm sure Jonathan wasn't too upset. He's on a tribe with Omer and Marianne, who are definitely close. It also signals to them when Jeff says this, like, you better not get rid of Jonathan. Like, you guys would be fools mm-hmm. to do that if you want to get through. And that's why I actually think Jonathan, he has so much longevity on this season. I mean, it's crazy to me. I've watched this episode exactly one time, right? That's it, one time. And I sat down and I watched this challenge again and I said, holy shit. Like, I remember every moment of this, and yet it's still even more impressive watching it this time. And as a community, because I think what we want the show to be, Cerie's 3-2-1 vote, which we covered, we talk about that as, like, the end all be all, right? Them getting Eric to give up the immunity necklace, Parvati's double idol play, like these types of moments when Todd convinces James not to play an idol and he goes home with two, those types of moments land so hard because of the strategic sense of the player. Sometimes you just got to sit back and praise what somebody is able to do physically too. I mean, you know, Cerie says you can't always beat them with these, but you can beat them with this. sometimes it is the opposite way too. Mm-hmm. And we don't praise that enough, I think, in the Survivor community. Like, I talk about all the time, like, I love Terry Dietz. I think Terry Dietz's Survivor game in Panama is so much fun to watch. And I think what is so amazing about Panama is you get Terry Dietz up against Suri, maybe the greatest physical player of all time, against maybe the greatest strategic player of all time, and they both lose. Mm-hmm. I think that is what is so amazing about that storyline. But it's almost like, well, when you rank the Survivor top 100, how many people are actually putting Terry Dietz? Not many. He plays one time, he doesn't win, doesn't get to the end. He's all challenges. And then when he plays the second time, we really don't get to see him play. The thing is, though, why do we downplay the physical? When you're this much better, Jonathan Young could have ran that for both, all three tribes. Mm-hmm. He could have ran it for all three tribes, and nobody else could have done any part of that, like in the water. It wouldn't have mattered. Jonathan had to be the steady quarterback for the little kids playing football.
He also not only held the ladder, I feel like people remember him holding the ladder, but he was also doing so many laps in this ocean to bring people to the next stages. He was pulling them along, swimming them along to the buoy ring. He dove down, then brought them all the way to the ladder. He held the ladder up, like him, and then a sprinkling of Lindsay, because she did a bunch of like the ladder stuff and things like that,
which
she
he was holding.
Yeah, no, but she like, I said a sprinkling, like she did the other stuff that he wasn't doing, because he can't hold the ladder and climb up it.
But he hit all of the sandbags too. Yes. That's also what's insane, is not only did he carry his tribe, then he hit all of the sandbags. Mm-hmm. And Jeff almost needed to say, go get them all, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is he also lands all the sandbags before they call the challenge for anyone.
Yeah.
Well, they should let him win before they.
They had to let him win. They had to let it finish before they. Everybody was about to drown. It was like, Jonathan, you better do this quick, otherwise, we're going to have a lot fewer people. I mean, but look, if you're doing something physical, you know, we've seen some cool challenges: carry this, lift this. We saw Colby snap the bar over his neck in Australian Outback, right? Like that part, that moment's iconic. But like, you're going up against the ocean. It was Jonathan versus the ocean, and Jonathan won. Everybody else lost. Like, if this was an actual shipwreck, Jonathan is on the island alone. Okay. Everybody else is dead unless he's going back and he's picking them up. Stephanie
LaGrossa, 42.
Maybe exactly. In a much darker way. But yeah, I understand some of the frustration people have with Jonathan coming back playing this season, right? 31 confessionals on his season. When you start to break that down with what did everybody else on his season have? Well, if you look at this cast, I'm going to go from where people started beating him. High gets 8th place, 35. Drea, 7th place, 34. Omer, 41. Lindsay, 45. Romeo, 33. Mike, 57, Marianne, 48. So he beats everybody from Tori on, but he's only got 31 confessionals, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand maybe the frustration of what different can Jonathan bring. But I truly do believe, because I've been saying the whole time, I think David's a better version of Jonathan, but I think I understand the casting choice more after rewatching this, because if you're going to say we need the best strategic player on this season, because it's season 50, and maybe they look at that as D, and maybe that's why they bring D back. Or maybe they look at that as Suri, and that's why they bring Suri back. You know, new era, old school, whatever. But you say, we need the best of this. If you're going for the best physical, there's no question. No. There is zero question about who that is.
And I think it's the people who have these physical prowesses pose either as obstacles or as allies for the strategic people, because we have to see people constantly maneuver around those who win individual immunity, or talk about, all right, we are getting close to the merge. Can we afford losing the next two tribal councils? So these physical players play into other people's strategic chops and how they maneuver the game as well. And I am one who has always advocated and loved the challenge portion of Survivor. So I do think having Jonathan on this season plus Joe, plus Ozzy, Colby, like all of these big, beefy challenge players is really going to put people's strategic chops to the test as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to look at Jonathan. Like, he's no slouch when it comes to everything else. Like, yes, he has, like, you know, the yelling at Lindsay and stuff, but he also makes it super deep into the game. Like, he makes it to he comes to fourth place. He loses in fire making, right? And that's no just – it's not like he was being dragged to the end. Mm-hmm. And he does have this power. It's not highlighted in it. A lot of it comes down to, you know, we can look in hindsight now, rewatching this episode of 42. Man, the new era sucks when it's only an hour long. Like, it's just you just don't get enough with these three tribe seasons to, like, understand what's going on in these pre-merge episodes. But his performance is of that level where it defines a portion of the show. And I think a lot of the time we in the Survivor community, those of us who are seeking out these type of videos and podcasts and out on the internet on Reddit and Twitter and whatever, we kind of forget that the challenges are an important part of the show. And, like, there is an aspect to it. There's a reason why we talk about immunity wins and records and everything like that, right? It's a part of the show. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan is the embodiment of that because he legitimately carried an entire tribe of four to victory in a challenge. He put them on his back, like, not metaphorically,
like his family?
Physically put them on his back.
And the thing is, he only won what, two immunities, I think, in the post merge. I think he won two immunities, but, like, it's not, again, he's not hitting the records like a Colby and like Joe almost did and all that, but, like, he's still so good. It's just, it's the presence that he brings. And McKenna, you brought up a good point. You need these types of players to offset strategic players. Mm-hmm. When people talk about the diversity and casting of the new era, until, like, very rarely are you getting diversity in game bot type players and physical type players.
Yeah.
That's why the Jonathans and the Joes and the Davids do stick out like sore thumbs, because those types of players aren't really being cast on the show anymore. It is more of your strategic, nerdy, social game type players. Mm-hmm. And you do need that mix. Are Amanda, Todd, and Courtney as good as they are if they don't have James? I don't think so. Like, they need James so that James can play off of them, so that these little people can run around saying, oh, wow, we have the big strong guy who's protecting us, and we can hide behind him, and we can align with him, and then we can blindside him. If they don't have James, they go home super early on that season every time. And so you do need this balance. And, you know, to go to the James point, I think James is probably a top five character in the history of the show. Some people might disagree with that, but I think James is all time for what he did in China and what he did in Micronesia and even what he does in Heroes Villains. In Micronesia, he wins fan favorite. He gets 18 confessionals in 12 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. 18 confessionals. He has four episodes of those 12 where he gets two or more confessionals. The other eight, he's getting one or zero. He never gets more than four in an episode. And those four come in the episode where he gets medevac because he's talking about his finger twice. So for me, you can still bring something. James is not a dud on Micronesia. He's fan favorite again. And everybody was bummed when he got pulled from the game. You can still bring something, even if you're getting fewer confessionals and you're not necessarily the biting guy like Devin's is, or you're not going to give those electric confessionals like Emily. And you know what? Make the challenges fun to watch again, because everybody remembers where they were when Jonathan did this. If you're a Survivor fan, and this is why Jonathan is playing again. This is why he was a first ballot person to return and why he's representing four seasons by himself, because he is, like, this is iconic. Mm-hmm. It's just iconic in a way that Survivor, like, fans aren't used to talking about.
And you bringing up James is a good point, because James is that big guy too, but doesn't win individual immunity. Yes, Jonathan has won individual immunity, but I think it all depends on how it's catered to, you know, is it Joe's forearms that win immunity, or is it Ozzy's water agility or endurance that wins the immunities? Or is it Jonathan's just brute strength to get to the end? So you don't necessarily know if he is going to be that guy winning the immunities. Plus, I've made this point about Joe Anglim. Everybody always wants him out as soon as possible. But if he's on your side, that's keeping immunities away from people who aren't your allies. So if Jonathan is one of your allies, keep him around. He's going to be winning immunities and hope, and maybe you could say, vote with me this way.
And when you look at the tribe divisions, the way that this broke out, you know, assuming that these are accurate, Jonathan's not with Ozzy or Joe. And I think he'd get along with both of those guys, right? Especially mm-hmm. Joe, maybe not Ozzy because of, like, you know, maybe real life beliefs and stuff like that. Or I don't know, but like, I don't actually know, but Joe and him, I think, would get along very well. I also think that there's a really good chance though, that Jonathan's getting along with Dee and Tiffany and Coach. Honestly, like, Coach is a big personality, but like, I think they get along.
Coach and Jonathan, I can see it. 100%. Yeah,
Mike White wants to keep Jonathan around, of course, because that protects Mike White. That prevents Mike White from having to go to tribal council. Camilla should be thinking the same thing. So to me, Jonathan's not on the best starting tribe he could have been on. I think it would have been better if he was in the Joe spot and now he's playing with Ozzy. But I do think he got a pretty good shake, because why would you want to vote him out? Also, Jonathan is going to make it so you go to as few tribal councils as you possibly can. And then once the merge hits, he's not great at individual immunity challenges. So there's no guarantee he'll win those, because those are pretty random. And if he does win them, like you said, McKenna, he's aligned with you. But are you really worried about Jonathan being a threat to win the game of Survivor?
And he might even win you a reward here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't have much for food, I think, unless we voted to give it to them. But
exactly.
Look, I think one of the,
yeah.
Go I ahead, think one of the interesting things when it comes to Jonathan is, especially when it comes to new era players, is he's not as in the community as all these other new era players are. But he sure spends a lot of time with Boston Rob.
Because he lives in the same area as Boston Rob. He's by the panhandle in Alabama where he lives. He's by the panhandle of Florida. So he's in that same area. And I think Boston Rob lives up by the panhandle. And yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, he's talking to Boston Rob. Boston Rob will be able to give him pointers. Boston Rob might even be able to get him in touch with Colby or something before the season begins. Also, like, that type of personality with Jonathan, where it's like, I don't need to go to the events all the time. He doesn't go to Ron Clark. Atlanta's not that far from where he is. He doesn't go to that event every year. He doesn't need to bounce around. That might actually help him, because look, you look for every commonality you can on Survivor. Mm-hmm. Just because you've met somebody doesn't mean you like somebody.
Yep.
And that actually could be to his benefit, that he's not caught up in maybe some of the gossip and nonsense that goes on with some of these new era seasons.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at that, 17 and a half minutes, and we were, like, cooking. If I talked slower, we would have hit 20.
Yeah, maybe.
I just talked too fast.
Look, plug the Patreon, and we'll hit 20.
Yeah, I'll plug the Patreon for 20 minutes. No, it's the physical game is so boring to so many people, but there's a reason why Colby is on season 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Ozzy is on season 50.
I was just going to say, Ozzy is...
There's a reason why Stephanie LaGrossa is on season 50. She might not have actually been that good at challenges, but she was fit. Division one lacrosse player, coming off of that and coming right out and playing Survivor. Like, back in the early seasons, a lot of Survivor fans were tuning in because they enjoyed watching the physical portion of the game. That started to change once it became more of a strategic game. But for the most part, people were watching for physical things. They wanted to see the challenges. They enjoyed watching the five immunity wins by players, right? There's a reason why Colby and Ozzy are unbelievably popular, and why Terry was very popular during his season. Like, there's a reason why this was happening. There's a reason why Tom Westman at the time was so popular, and he comes back and plays again for Heroes versus Villains. People like watching the physical portion of the game too. It's just it started to get pushed out in the 20s. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays, the people who are still in love with Survivor a lot tend to not really care about this.
I was rooting so hard for Joe to get his wins to be in the club.
Yeah.
Because he was so close. I was rooting so hard for Rachel to get her win, to get, you know, in the club. And are we going to get back to back Rachel and then Joe? And we were robbed. Yeah. But
I know.
I love
Joe had two opportunities to break the record.
Yeah.
He could have tied it, then broken it.
Right.
Because of how early he won his fourth one. Yeah.
And I think the other thing that we don't consider enough is how much, and I feel it kind of leads on to what you're talking about, the casual fan base loves challenge competitors.
They love it. They love it.
Like, Jonathan is a player who is there for the casual fan base, and really, as much as we don't want to admit it sometimes as people who kind of obsess over Survivor, that's who CBS is catering the show to. They're the ones who tune in.
That's a much bigger portion of the fan base than we are. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. They're much more of the fan base is going, who? Than, oh, yeah. No, I love every detail, blah, blah, blah. Like, the fan base, the casual fan base knows Jonathan.
Yeah.
My dad knew who Jonathan was.
You're going to get
my dad had no idea who Tiffany was.
Remember that guy with the ladder rather than remember that 3-2-1 vote?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know if my dad would know who D was at this point. like seriously, like that's how crazy, though, the casual fan base can be. Jonathan has one of the most memorable images you're going to have from the new era.
Yep.
It's a fact. It's a fact. Yep. And that's why Jonathan, Q, probably the first two picks from the new era. And Emily was probably third. If you're talking new era people who are on, those are probably the first three people picked. And Joe, because of Joe's moment. So that's it.
Hey, we hit 20. We're good. Wrap it up.
We went way over. This might be our longest episode of defining episodes. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We'll be back next time with our second to last episode. We'll be talking about Breath First Search from Survivor David vs. Goliath. And it is Christian's episode number 9. So thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time when we talk about Christian's defining episode.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.